In today's podcast, I talk to two of the founders of Flow State, one of Ireland's best loved and best known artists, Mazer, together with fitness coach John Belton. Flow State is a brand new company with a brand new approach to lifestyle and fitness, and the guys have collaborated and created a range of art-inspired yoga mats. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brian Thomas Podcast. So, welcome to the Brian Thomas Podcast, John and Mazer. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
You look ever so comfortable with these mics shoved in your face. You're very chilled. John, I like the way you're balancing them on your pecs just to make sure we know what you do. That works very well.
And I'm holding it like a paintbrush.
There you go. Don't sway too far from form. Welcome to Brian Thomas. It is fantastic that you're here.
And thank you.
I particularly am very impressed because I live in a house that is littered with foam rollers and training bands, none of which are mine, but they're everywhere and they're ugly. And you've decided to do something about ugly sportswear as such and bring art into it.
Yeah.
We're in the process of it.
Yeah. I don't know if that was our motivation to sort of remove all ugly apparatuses like that.
Yeah.
They're essentially like clothes hangers in apartments. And the whole concept for Flow State came definitely from something a little bit bigger picture than that.
Yeah.
But it's driven by a catalyst of like creating that, you know, that space that we live, whether that's an apartment or whether that's a micro apartment as we're starting to move into now, that we can have a kind of integrated lifestyle approach, as Al's kind of motto is now, to living. So it's not a case of just fitness gear chucked around the place and then bad association with it.
Yeah.
Flow State is a very, very broader picture, all-encompassing thing around Al's world and my world and how they've came together, and the beautiful Adrian, who's hiding behind the curtain over there, was the person who brought that synergy of who we are and put it into something that was effectively now a Flow State mat and is much more than that.
They are absolutely beautiful to look at, and I just think the approach that, you know, whether they're on the ground or they're hanging on your wall, they're bringing something to your space, and also that it would bring something to your session too. If you're working out, you're doing yoga and you're looking down quite a lot, that beauty will kind of make it a more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Like, it's a world I live in every day because I paint and those are the colours I use. And
yeah.
I paint large canvases in my studios. I'm engulfed in those colours. So sharing that, like, I know the sort of the joy that brings me. So then just translating that into a yoga mat as well. And I've obviously trained on the Flow State mats and being in studios, meditation spaces and using it. And it does inject that colour, that energy into the space, which is a positive, I think.
And I've spent a lifetime working in gyms with grey mats, blue mats, all sorts of different smelly, fishy rubber mats.
And that happens in gyms.
Yeah, and we went through it. So, you know, Al is so humble in his words there. I mean, if you walk into Atelier Mason, you see the colour and the, you know, I love spending time over there because, you know, I'm very fortunate to get to sit in there to do some work at times if I'm, you know, typing out stuff or doing whatever else, pretending to be busy.
Yes.
One of the biggest things I see is when people come in off the street, walk into the studio, and I love looking at the reaction on their face. That's one thing about it. They look, and there's always, whether it's art that's half finished, whether it's art that's like kind of leaning against a wall, or whether there's something on display in there. When you see, and you know, I'm coming from a fitness background, so I love art, but I don't know or appreciate art the same way or understand it the same way that Aldo. So when you see that translate straight into changing someone's state, that's very magic. And Al's artwork, although he's, you know, so and so many other creatives that he has around them, that's just something that they accept as a norm. So coming from a fitness background, and you know, my world is the health world as opposed to just fitness. I don't train people just for fitness events. I train people to not burn out. I train people who are recovering from serious injuries or illnesses. So, you know, having something that brings a different energy and a vibrancy into their life through art has become a huge part of what wellness is. And that's why I'm so proud to be associated with Flow State. I'd love to say it was my idea or my concept.
Let's talk about the idea and the concept then. So it's an integrated approach to art, to movement, to lifestyle. So Adrian had the idea. So how did it all come to life?
It all came about when I first met John first. I went into his gym to train and just to book in sessions. True recommendation, and there's a serious bromance, I think, there in the first day that we had.
Well, spark. You said he's like a lifestyle coach for you now.
For sure, like a great coach. one of my best friends. And so yeah, we just had this common bond between and we talked more than we trained, I think, for the first while. So we I trained as a client, and then we sort of trained together, and very like-minded in our approach. And Adrian was a part of that then as well, and we all sort of conversated together. And it's a place I went every day, so I found myself probably hanging out the most there out of any other clients. Being like there for like an hour or two and sharing ideas and everything like that. And it stemmed then, you know, cut to whatever, 2 years later. We're all talking, wouldn't it be great that, you know, for me, I love to be able to work on my passions. And we all sort of share that same ideal. And Adrian, we sort of talked, wouldn't it be great since we all hang out to work together in some capacity. And then Adrian, I think sent me a voicey, or it was in a WhatsApp group.
We were on a flight coming from the Conor McGregor fight in Vegas, and the flight got, I don't know what happened. Anyway, we were in the middle of America, so we're sitting on a stranded flight. And Adrian just went, what about you and I collaborating and using a yoga mat as a canvas? And I went, that is an unbelievable idea.
It's an unbelievable idea.
But I went, but it has to have been done already. And like when we looked at it, yes, there are some mats that have some, you know, patterns on them and stuff like that. But like it was one of those moments. I think we all, you know, when, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, Al's the same. And when we, you know, people come up with great ideas all the time and never execute them. And, you know, I have this great idea, it's going to be brilliant. And then you find out that somebody has already done it. This is one of those things that I went, oh my God, this is magic. And, you know, Adrian, I think, sent Al a voice message there and then. And we started, you know, really getting excited about it, sitting on the seat here, which is, you know, it's funny how these things happen when you're made to stop. And, you know, sometimes we're forced to stop. And that's even reflective in what flow state is, when you actually stop and breathe, how your creativity comes up. So from there, we started researching it. And, you know, we went through prototypes and went through resources. And, you know, we sat down and sort of said, well, what do we believe in? As, you know, what is this? Because we didn't have a name. We didn't have anything like that. And it was like, oh, is it just a piece of art? Is it just, sorry, I shouldn't say just a piece of art. Well, is it a beautiful piece
so
of art?
It's so easy, Mazer, right?
Yeah. Is it just a yoga mat? What is this? And, you know, the more we sort of spoke about, instead of what is this, when we spoke about who are we and what is our belief, and, you know, and I see how businesses and brands grow from individuals and people. And when we sat on that and started to really delve into what that was, and, you know, and stop and think about being out in nature. I'm from the Shticks. I'm from Wicklow. Live up in the mountains and love being out in the mountains. Al is we let him up now. He's got a passport to come into Wicklow. He goes up in the mountains a lot and loves it. And we
enrich your life to get out of Dublin.
But when we, you know, we see what wellness means in a broader spectrum. And when we started thinking about that, it's like, well, what is art? And when Alice Mazer's in his creative piece and he's in his creative realm and he's making his beautiful work, or when I'm training, or when I'm in the middle of my own, you know, coaching or my flow with something else like that, like there's a magic around that. Okay. And that's what we crave when we're training. And that's where it goes from being something that your body's forcing to something that your body is flowing with and relaxing into.
And that's kind of like another state of consciousness, really, isn't it? And it's hard to achieve. And like elite athletes might say that it's happened a couple of times, that real flow state. Is it something that we can train ourselves to get there? Like, is it something as an artist, Mazer, that you find yourself in a flow state?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So what's it feel like then? You can tell how dedicated
ego
I am
side,
to
it's
anything.
Like you literally can't make a mistake when you're painting. Like,
and the noise is gone.
I don't even know about noise, but like when I'm going to paint a piece, just everything executes exactly where it's meant to go. And so, yeah, that is a rare time, but that comes from just plenty of practice and discipline. So I would find it, to be honest, harder to get back into my flow state right now at the moment, because I'm juggling a lot of stuff. Last year, we set up Atelier, and so I had to put on a few different hats. So it'd be harder to get back into that state of mind in comparison. Maybe a few years ago, all I did was paint, so it'd be easy to trigger that state again. But you just make sure you have the tools in place to do that, you know, leading up to that. If I want to have a good day painting on Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll make sure I won't be going drinking on the weekends. Sure I'm going training on, let's say, Sunday. I'll eat well, just peaceful day and not be stressed, and you'll find yourself get to that state.
You can get into that state.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously you see real impact in your work then when you are in that state. It all just comes together.
If I'm
perfectly
happier, I'm going to produce better work. I think this narrative of like where artists need to be in a sad state or pull emotions from bad places, I don't work like that.
And I don't think your work reflects that, you know. I think that it has always been very uplifting and empowering for people to see. You know, there's never any kind of darkness over it like you might see with other artists.
Other artists, some people think like other artists will need that to, like, they produce this great work because of their sad state of mind. And I just think, like, imagine what if they had a positive state of mind, how good that work would be.
Absolutely.
You know, sort of thinking of that, that's the narrative.
It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, for sure.
And for athletes then, or for people who come to you for training, John, is there a way that you can advise them to find that state?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we actually just had a separate conversation downstairs before we came up here, and we were talking about similar stuff. And like, the big thing I've learned about flow state as I get a little bit older, I used to know what it felt like. I'd be on a competition floor. I did CrossFit back when, you know, 2008, 2007, when before it was really big. And, you know, we'd compete all over Europe because nobody else was good enough to beat me. I was that bad. Nobody else there.
Get
in early, get out early. That's my
key.
Stopping on the top. Exactly.
What's the next thing?
Exactly. So what I learned was that there's a magic for me in, you know, it sounds funny, but if someone was to say to you, what does your flow state feel like when you're training? I would say when I feel, I have very bushy eyebrows, as you can tell, when I feel sweat dripping off my eyebrows and just dripping down my face, and I can feel my breath and there's no other noise.
Yeah.
And that's like learning to calm yourself amongst, you know, there's all sorts of madness going on around you.
Yeah.
So what I've learned as I've progressed on is that, you know, our flow state is factored by many things. It's where the magic happens without a shadow of doubt. But we can influence it with our environment. Mm-hmm. And that's where, with flow state and with the mat itself, it's like straight away there's an association of kind of harmony, creativity, and flow that's with the mat. So for me, when I take out my yoga mat, my flow state yoga mat, and I'm, you know, I need to work on my mobility. And originally when we got the mats, we used to take them on holidays with us, and we'd have to get some pictures and do this sort of stuff. And it meant that I'd roll out my mat and I'd go through my stretching and I'd go through, and all of a sudden I found myself sitting there going, this actually really is a fantastic product. I love it. It's like my special little place.
That is true.
You know, and the mat hangs at home, and what it, you know, what it resembles, or what it, sorry, what it emulates as such, it's like the importance for me of my little space.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I'm in that fitness world, it's like, that's my space where I need to disconnect, where I breathe, where I stretch. And, you know, you can create flow state. Sorry, there can be things that will pull you out of it. And you could argue everything in life is trying to pull you out of your own flow state.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And there's a need now more than ever before to find an element of flow. And, you know, we talk about competitive sports and, you know, like art at the level that Al's talking about. But like for anyone to just sit on the mat and breathe, and, you know, so one of the big things we see are people sending back pictures of their kids sitting on the mat coloring in, or their dog sitting on it, which is kind of funny, but it's like, that's
so
what the
healthy
mat is.
I think that's so healthy. Yeah. I think, you know, when you talk about now an increasing need in the lives that we lead to find that well-being and to find that place of happiness, but I also think the more we're looking for it in, there's so much noise and there's so much busyness in our lives, it seems harder to attain, because well-being in itself can be quite overwhelming. You know, we're kind of trained to think now. You get up and you have to juice, and then you have to power walk to work, and you have to sit and you meditate in the loo at lunchtime. Like, you know, I think so that we kind of need more bite-sized approaches to finding well-being. So even if it is just sitting on this beautiful mat, if that can give you 3 minutes of peace, that has to help.
Yeah, I think also it's a frame of mind as well. For me, it was just like the way you're describing it there is like you've already got all these blocks in your life, and then you're trying to interject your own
so
important
much.
bits, which I think is the wrong priority to be. I've sort of reworked it that like I'm number one, and I'll make sure that I have to go up the mountains for a hike up in Wicklow or whatever on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I go swimming on a Sunday. And then motor parts of life come into that. Like they are, you could treat them like meetings, or they come there as a priority. And once I put them in place in there, so rather than me trying to schedule in my life around my city life or whatever you want to call it, it then makes a better me, and then I'm able to produce. So instead of working for 15 hours and then trying to do my small bits of me time, because I have more time for myself and I meditate and hike, I'm actually able to do 10 hours of work in 5 hours.
Okay.
So actually, I'm creating more time.
I know. And so meditation is a big part of your life now. And in Atelier, there are meditation workshops.
Yeah. So it started years ago. A friend of mine, he's a printer, actually, Kieran, and he was talking about TM, Transcendental Meditation. He's very stressed at work, and he's a big guy, a big dub, and he was a Transcendental Meditation. He was driving quite aggressively in the car to get somewhere. And I was just, anyway, it set my mind, and that was it. And about 2 years ago, I think I got to a tipping point where I was quite stressed, and with a lot of travel and things like that, thinking that that's what it was to be a great artist. You travel, you get burnt out, you live the artist life.
Yeah.
And So then I was sort of searching for something, didn't even know what it was. And then a Facebook ad popped up about transcendental meditation introduction.
These bloody phones are listening to us.
Big time. And so I went to that, and it was it ticked all my needs. And yeah. I went and studied it for a week, and I practiced it every day for a few years. And so then it's developed on then a friend of mine, Connor, friend from years ago, 15 years ago, who moved to Berlin.
Yeah.
And he reached out to me, saw what I was doing in the studio, and said he'd like to introduce meditation classes. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. It started last year.
But that's amazing. You've kind of created a hub, really. It's not just about your space and your studio. Mm. It's, you know, there's more there for people. You know, so I could go and practice meditation there and take one of those classes. Do you practice meditation?
Yeah, definitely. It's been a huge part of my life at different stages.
Yeah.
You know, true, unfortunately, like most people, burning myself out, running myself into the ground, and trying to find ways to get back on top, look after myself again. Meditation was a huge part of that. Obviously, you know, from a kind of visualization and a sports point of view, I would have touched on it before.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of things, it's not until you really find yourself needing something that you understand its importance. Mm. And for me, meditation has different meanings, because there's the physiological connection with breath, and how breath calms down your parasympathetic tone and relaxes your body. And that's what meditation is on a very basic level.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of layers, like everything, to meditation that you can, you know, you can practice it, and you can find yourself going on for a long time with meditation. And it's a really exciting journey.
Mm.
And I'll be the first one to put my hand up and say, for me, the key to meditation is consistency. I think that's everybody. So for me to do it, I has to be on small doses regularly. And I can't commit to like long workshops and all that. So I think the association with meditation is the thing where people sometimes get a little confused. They think, I'm going to meditate and I'm going to sit there and float out the door, you know, and the world will be zen again. But in fact, the big thing about meditation is that it makes you stop and listen to what's actually going on and process and let it pass on a very basic level. So I find that, you know, when I get into that rhythm with training and with, you know, from sitting on a rower, skipping, jogging, there's an element of meditation for me in that.
Absolutely.
I'm not foolish enough to think that's the only type of meditation, but there's an element of processing and like recognizing thoughts, letting them pass.
Yeah.
That's meditation. And you know, meditation, I don't do well with people telling me this is the only way to do something.
Yeah, and I think we need to be more flexible in our approach to things.
Exactly.
That's what I mean about the like a bite-sized portion of meditation. Like my husband does a three-minute meditation every day, and that's just enough just to give yourself that time to kind of reconnect.
Just regroup, refocus.
Exactly.
Like the thing of it for me is that if you practice it and you find sort of happiness in that 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 20 minutes, and you know, it's like training. If you can give yourself 5 minutes more, and you found that was easy, try to do 5 minutes, 10 minutes. What will actually inherently happen is you'll become very happy in those 10 minutes. And if you practice that enough, that happiness then will bleed out into the day.
Mm.
And so everything becomes a lot more harmonious and easier to grow. And stops just sort of reacting to situations. It separates you from your mind a little bit, so you can sort of see it coming in a way. And then as well as that, then if it's able to give you that ability, it slows your day down. So you suddenly become, instead of having 12 hours, you have like 14-hour days.
Even though
it's the same. It's amazing. Like the capacity of things I can get done in a day when I meditate solidly for a few months is bionic.
Yeah.
In comparison to not being fully aware of my mind and letting my mind control myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get it up and time gets away. You start reacting. You start not being focused enough, and you know, you're spending hours on something that you shouldn't be doing, like you know. So
if I didn't want to hang out in your atelier before, now I do, now because it just sounds so zen.
And
I get relaxed
with like
I'm talking
we were
to
talking
you.
About training. Painting is the same way, because what it does is like it makes you so present. Meditation is about being present, not letting your mind jump ahead or think back. Jumping ahead makes you anxious, obviously. Going back will make you reflective and depressed or sad about your actions. But painting, and the action of painting, keeps you so present. So that's why I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like John said, train painting as a meditational state as well. And it's lovely. So I would use that as a meditational tool.
And where you are, where you've located yourself with your new atelier is perfect. I just think it's really the roots of your career there on Charlemont Street. I was telling you,
love it.
I used to live across the road, so they were the nice flats looking over. It's the place has switched now, and you're in the fancy side of the street.
Big time.
But there was this little alleyway where we used to like skip down to the Bernard Shaw, and it was all graffiti.
Yeah.
you know, admittedly, it looked better on the way back from the Bernard Shaw, some of it, but it was beautiful. And I think, you know, you had your first studio there in the Bernard Shaw, so you're home now.
Upstairs.
How does it feel to be home?
Yeah, great. Yeah, that was, it's a nice journey, even though if you look at it, the journey's about 20 meters. But like in terms of all in between that space, all those years of where I've traveled and lived in the States and lived in London and different studios and all the opportunities, and then to come back and revisit that space again and look at the progress. It's nice like to stop and see it and be really appreciative of that and be back with that community. I know loads of the people from the flats there and they all live upstairs now again. So I don't know if they're happy to see me, but.
Well, they've no choice now.
But yeah, so it's like great, and it's been part of that community again. I live just down the road, it's a circular road.
But even the story of it, you know, and like, you know, is it more the evolution of your life as an artist that, you know, graffiti when you started and you were 15, so it was a couple of years ago, it was kind of subculture, and now atelier is kind of like the very word itself is associated with luxury and the highest end. So is that more about where graffiti now lives in the world of art, or is it more about you as an artist and how you've evolved?
Like I can't be reflective of that or look outside that. I can only speak for myself, really. Yeah. And yeah, I started as a graffiti writer, and we're talking about like how important public work is now for social change and how it does here integrated into wellness. Mm-hmm. That definitely wasn't a narrative years ago like that. It was shunned, and you wouldn't be saying you did graffiti even up to my early 20s. But it's a passion that I loved, and it facilitated a lot of my needs. It's interesting to see, like, I've grown up, I'm 38 years of age. I probably don't want to be out painting murals as much anymore, and that's why I have a large studio, because I want to create large works that maybe the idea of like all these semi-permanent pieces are 95% of my work's gone. Maybe I want to create work that's going to last longer. I've faced my mortality. Uh-huh. I realize I'm not invincible.
That's
and so this
30s,
could be the
right?
reasons why I have Atelier now.
Yeah.
And also Atelier is as you said, a hub or an incubator. And John also mentioned integrated lifestyle, something I really believe in, and this end flow state, it's touching on all aspects of my life, because I used to just think I was an artist and wasn't able to do anything else and excel at that. And John has coached me through fitness that it can be more than that and better. So that encompasses all those different disciplines in one space.
And when you call it an incubator, there's very much a focus on mentoring younger artists.
Yeah.
When you started, did you have a mentor? Like, what was that scene like when you're 15 and you're going out there with your cans? And
you had your peers. There's a graph shop you went to, and you were nervous and skinny and goofy and trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And everyone, that community, that subculture were great, and it wasn't down to social class or anything like that, or your physical attributes. It was down to how disciplined and hard working you were and how much you painted and creative skills. So it was a great culture to see different communities. Like any kid could integrate with any, like a kid from Ballymun with Blackrock or something like that. So you had then your older peers growing up. So they would lend advice on colour theory, but we're in an environment now where this business brought into art, where most of the lads now are doing exhibitions, or your commercial companies have bought into this culture, because it is the biggest art movement in the world, without a doubt, globally. So they're buying into that. So I've found myself at times, I'm not saying I'm the mentor or anything like that, but I will hope to facilitate them, to give them the shortcuts instead of bashing the head off the wall or be exploited, to be like, this is usually how it is, you know, even down to like, how do you do taxes? Don't get caught out,
this
like do
it.
Your tax like, returns
it's
like, because it's all daunting as a creative,
and it does it doesn't really merge with the creative mentality really to sit down and be disciplined.
Yeah, but we
in
live
area.
In a monetary world, and unfortunately we have to adhere to those rules, you know. So if we can just figure them out a little bit, it'll then give you the headspace to get back being creative rather than being smothered by that.
You know, the vibrancy of your work, and obviously, you know, with your roots and where you started, that's always going to be the way, the colour and the creativity of it. But the happiness there, I think with public works, is there, in other art forms, there might not be as much consideration for the voyeur. But when you're creating public work, do you have to think of the person who's passing that every day? You've always wanted to uplift them. Your slogans and your pieces have always been something that made people feel good about themselves when they're passing it, be it on the dart or however.
Yeah.
Do you think that has lent itself to what you're creating now with Flow State, with those
prints? Yeah, for sure. That story has always stayed the same. I don't know. I can't fully explain where that stemmed from. It's from experiences, anything positive that I'm writing on the wall. It's a story, a narrative that I wrote to myself and I'm sharing with others. And I keep the message sort of open and people take ownership of it. And that's the good thing about public works. People take ownership of it and they share it. If I go right back and I was looking at street art, you know, street art and graffiti are sort of different. They're all meshed together now. But street art is like, could be looked at like political statements in the city, you know, if you have objections to the government and stuff like that. And what I realized that there's all these negative interjections of work being put on the street, but it's actually all us on ground level have to read it, and not these hierarchies of governments. So I just thought, why not just write something positive? So we had, and it started with The Maester Loves You, and it was an appreciation for where I lived. And then it just sort of grew from there, and I nurtured that, and it made me feel good, made others feel good, gave me more purpose.
And that must feel good in itself to know that somebody's walking to work every day, and they, even if it's just for that split second, that they see something that you've created and it makes them feel good. That must feel really good.
I can't speak for everyone now. I'm sure there's a few
that. I've always worked around the Camden Street area, and like, you know, you would pass by.
That You're Alive wall, I think, it's come a staple part of that space.
I love that. So what's next for Flow State then? So there is going to be a lot more happening in Brent Thomas. Let's talk about The Window. Maester, how do you feel about it? There's a lot of pressure on them. There's a lot of pressure. The Windows are a big part. We're talking
They're amazing.
About, you know, we're talking about passing something every day and it making you feel good. And Brent Thomas is integral to that part of Grafton Street. You know,
And that's it. Like, as an artist, you want to get your message out. And so I don't know what the footfall is on Grafton Street, but I'm sure it's a lot.
Pretty high.
Yeah. So that's a great opportunity to create the artwork in a different medium. It's a new challenge.
Do you feel the pressure of it? Space.
No,
good.
Sure. So it's
you find
like,
the flow state in it, and it just happens.
Yeah, I'll be in that window finding my flow state if I can watch me find it.
You won't notice one person walking by.
Yeah.
And then in terms of flow state and products, you know, is there expansion there? Like, we have the mat that's going to be in Brent Thomas. Have you plans for more, John?
So we originally sat down with one design and said, oh, we have a goal of selling one order. And I think we went to four more orders with and three more mats last year. So we kind of did a lot better than we expected to do last year. But we've put the head down and we've been grafting away. We just got a new tote bag that's we released yesterday. And we've some new designs coming through and a lot of other products. But, you know, we have to make sure that which is hard now, that we stick to our message around, you know, ethically sourced products, and that everything we're doing it from an environmental standpoint is where it needs to be.
Okay.
There's a lot of exciting things coming up for Flow State, and we're kind of, it's started out as a passion project, and we have to make sure that we stay in a flow state with it.
Absolutely.
And not let it become something that can impact our friendships and things around that as well. So we've sat back, took our time over Christmas to sort of decide where we all want to go with it. And you know, keeping your fiance and one of your best friends and everything.
You're keeping it close. Together, so Adrian and you are engaged. Yes. And you've worked together for a long time anyway. So
exactly, yeah.
How is himself there fit in?
It's great. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. No, listen, like any three-way relationship, it has its ups and downs.
You're so lucky, Adrian.
Yes. It has its ups and downs. But to be honest, like, we've gone on holidays together. We went, you know, we do
great,
a lot of things together. We're trying to think like a global, massive, big brand from the start, so that we're, you know, well, where do we want to go with this? How can we really do believe in the product?
Yeah.
We believe in the message. We believe in the lifestyle that it embodies. And we want, you know, we're obviously very delighted to be associated with BT's and this and the Windows and everything around it. We feel like this is a product that's going to be as big as any other out there, and we're really proud of it. We just want to make sure that we're doing it on our grounds and not, you know, just deciding to try and become commercial overnight and drive things crazy. It has to,
you can lose yourself.
Exactly.
Integrity is very important.
Big time.
Very
we're important. About experiences. We're going to be doing some cool experiences here. Hopefully on Grafton Street and with the Windows, but we also have done, you know, pop-ups on the rooftop of the Marker Hotel and different areas, because we want to share. I want to share what the artwork looks like. I want people to see that, to experience that. I love seeing the smiles on people's faces coming to a yoga class.
Yeah.
It's not just a yoga class, it's a complete experience. And that rolls out. I mean, for us, you know, success has many different meanings, and it's important that all of our successes align together.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when we see people going to yoga classes, walking through town with a Flow State yoga mat in their back,
amazing.
that was something that was for me. I know I'll get to see his artwork all over the place, but for us,
and we get to have Maester art in our house for £145.
Woo-hoo. Couldn't go wrong.
Yay.
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah, just that was another part. Yeah, hang the piece on the wall,
which is so incredible.
Yeah, That's the beauty of it, that, yeah, that it you know, someone said, oh God, so the mat will be hanging there reminding me I haven't exercised.
So multifaceted. Good. Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. Get off your arse and put it on the ground. Well, yoga now is in Brown Thomas in the form of the mat, but what about yoga classes in Brown Thomas?
Yeah, it's not just artwork on the mat, it's the lifestyle and bringing that in, experiences and stuff like that. We do it in Atelier. We've done it at different events, and we're talking about doing it in here now
as
well.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, to walk, we're still talking to the guys about that, what that looks good. Like and how can how work with the space and transform it in some way. And yes, it's fun.
Well, look, it is so lovely to have you here. It's so nice to chat to you. I feel happier and more well from good. Having sat down with you guys.
Well, get your yoga mat, so.
Yes, well, thank you so much for chatting to
thank
us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brown Thomas podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to share and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Official Brown Thomas on Instagram for more updates.